We're starting a new series today that'll be with us for just a few weeks. We're coming out of probably a strong and intense teaching and series, whether you consider the series in August and then our family series the last week. But I honestly am so encouraged and have been so thankful and grateful to just hear people that are having conversation, families that are having conversation. One family last Sunday said they were having family meeting at 4:30 on Sunday evening, and I love it. I love it. Let's have family meeting. Let's talk about some of this teaching and how we can be stronger and better and just come out on the other side. And so this Sunday, we're just jumping in to another series, and it is yet unfolding in my spirit and unfolding in my heart, and yet I feel so directed this Sunday to just share in the Word of the Lord. Just a series called You Are Here. You Are Here. Well, where are we? Where are we? It's one thing to you know, see the point on the map. You are here, but where am I? And that probably is the question of the day with the fallout of a hurricane. And there's yet another one in the Gulf right now that is aiming at Florida. It's hurricane season. We know many are feeling hurricane as we just talked about a moment ago, and then right here in our own community, biolab fires that, I don't know if that thing is still burning, I just know there's still a lot of smoke, and they're trying to process through all the chemicals and dealing with that since last Sunday. That was happening last Sunday it began, and all week long has been an ordeal. We have Israel at war, and all of that is of great concern. I just know Psalm 123 and 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel. But all of these things are happening. And then all of those global things, those world stage things and even local concerns, things that are happening around us, and then we also have the daily challenges of life. We have the daily challenges that you and I are facing and living through, and they are many. And I know spread throughout this congregation today and to our church family, and friends who are online with us or watching at some point this week, you feel this. You feel the daily challenges, and you feel the struggle, and you wonder where are we? What is happening? What is going on in my life? Sometimes you ask questions like, "Am I lost? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe I zigged when I should have zagged. I turned left when I should have turned right. I just feel like I've done something to cause this." And no, you're not lost. I'm going to help you figure out where you are and exactly what it is that God is doing and wants to do in your life. But it is possible, even when I'm not lost, it's possible to feel checked out. It's possible to feel as though I'm unengaged, or I've just kind of moved into this ho-hum kind of attitude or approach to all that is happening. So I want to spend a few Sundays talking to us about where we are, a few Sundays to recalibrate, a few Sundays to renew, a few Sundays to determine, hey, you are here. You're here. And there's a powerful story in Genesis 28, and I'm going to get there in just a moment, but I want to give you a little background to this story so that when I begin reading this text here in a moment, that it makes more sense. It's about Jacob and the struggles that Jacob is having, but you got to go back a little further to Jacob's grandparents, Abraham and Sarah. You remember Abraham and Sarah, they were old and beyond their childbearing years, but God promised them a child, promised them a son, promised a seed to them that through their seed, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. And there's a lot of detail, and there's some bad turns and some bad choices included in all of that. Isaac was ultimately born, but before Isaac was born, Ishmael was born. That's the child that Abraham had with Hagar, who was Sarah's servant. And I mean, a big convoluted mess that is even to this day, the war that Israel is in, fighting, the people, that's Isaac and Ishmael. That's literally the descendants of two brothers that have never been able to get along and have always been at odds with one another. But Isaac was the purposed seed. Isaac was the blessed seed. That was the promise of God fulfilled. And then Isaac, who you remembered, Abraham took him to the top of the mountain, and they're going to build a sacrifice, to build an altar, and Isaac saying, "Hey, Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire you've built, I don't see the sacrifice." Well, Isaac, you are the sacrifice. And Isaac, who is probably 16, 17, 18 years of age, he willingly lays himself there to be the sacrifice. It is a type of Jesus laying his life down for us. And Abraham is about to sacrifice his own son when God provides a ram in the thicket, and that ram became the sacrifice that day. And so Isaac now is married, and Isaac has sons of his own. He and Rebekah had two sons, and they were twin boys, Esau, who was born first, and Jacob, who was born second. But the Bible said that Jacob was grabbing the heel of Esau when Esau was born. So there's twins in the womb of Rebekah, but they're already tussling, they're already wrestling, they're already vying for first place, and Esau wins out just barely. He's born first, but literally holding on to his heel is Jacob. And this never died in Jacob. He felt cheated. I should have been born first. I should have the birthright. I should have the blessing. And then it frustrated Jacob as they grew up and as they were coming of age. It frustrated Jacob that Esau never cared. He never valued the birthright. It was not important to him. And so ultimately, Jacob catches Esau at a time when he is famished and he is hungry. He's come in from long hours out in the field, and he's saying, "I'm so hungry. I could eat shoe leather. I'm just famished. I don't know what I'm gonna do." And Jacob seizes his moment and says, "Well, I've just made a pot of soup. And if you want some of this soup, then you give me your birthright. You trade this soup for your birthright." And ladies and gentlemen, Esau made the trade. That's the setting. That is the overview. I know I'm talking fast, but I think I'm talking to people that have heard some of this before and read some of this before, and you're familiar with some of these stories. And if you're not, it is fascinating. Your Bible is fascinating, all of the things that have happened. And so now Jacob has the birthright, but he does not have the blessing. He has his brother's willingness to trade, but he's got to get the blessing of Isaac, their father. And so he puts on a disguise. He literally dresses up like Esau. He puts the lamb or the animal skin coat on, and he put extra fur onto his hands so that his hands would seem more hairy like Esau's hands were. And he lowers his voice and he walks in and through disguise he begins to talk to his father Isaac. The Bible said that Isaac's eyes had grown dim. He was already going blind in his old age, and so everything was very blurry to him, and he's not quite sure. He's suspicious something is happening. He's not sure what's going on, but ultimately he gives his blessing to Jacob. And that's why Jacob is known as a trickster, and that's why Jacob is referred to as a con man, and Jacob is referred to as conniving. Because he's got the birthright and he's got the blessing, but he also has a bounty on his head. When we meet him in Genesis 28, Esau is wanting to kill him because somewhere he's realized, wait a minute, I gave up too much. I negotiated myself out of a fair deal, and now I'm struggling. Now I am missing some things. And Jacob, even though he's done some of this in an underhanded way, even though he's done some of these things in a way that could be perceived as out of line and out of bounds and not quite right, Jacob has everything he wants. He's got the birthright and he's got the blessing, but he doesn't have peace. He's attained, he's achieved, he's acquired, but he isn't settled. He's not sure of himself. He isn't confident in his relationship with his family. No, that's strained. His friends act nervous around him. And Jacob himself is afraid of God. He doesn't know where he is, literally, emotionally, spiritually. He just doesn't know. Look at somebody and tell him he's figuring it out. He's figuring it out. And on some level, that could be you, and that could be me. We have the education, we have the job, we have the spouse, we have the kids, we have the car, we're building the house. It just seems like we've attained and we've achieved and we've acquired, but something still is not settled in us. Something still is not quite right, and we're trying to figure out, where are we? Where am I in all that is happening in my life? Genesis 28, beginning at verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Verse 12, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants, verse 14, will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, verse 18, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, verse 21, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So that's a number of verses. It's a long reading, but I want to break this down just a bit today to see how it can apply to our lives and to the journey that we are on. Jacob was literally on the run. He was on the run because Esau, his brother who hated him, Esau, his brother who was angry with him, was pursuing him. And so Jacob leaves Beersheba, which was familiar to him. That's home. These roads I know. I mean, all of this I see daily. But now I'm going toward Haran. I'm going toward Laban's house, his uncle. I'm going to hide out there. I'm going to see if I can do some work for him and just kind of lay low for a while. And so I'm sure that Jacob had traveled this path before. I'm sure they had visited the uncle's house at least a few times over the years. And yet Jacob is not really sure where he is. The path has to be a path he has traveled before, and yet he doesn't quite know it. He's unsettled. He's just unsure, even in the direction that he is going. And so, as the story unfolds, the sun is setting in the evening, and Jacob needs a camp for the night. And so he finds a rock to prop his head on. He has no idea where he is. Just enough familiarity for me to know that I think I'm on the right path. I think my life is headed in the right direction. I think I made the right turn. I think I made the right decision. I mean, I could have gone either way. Both companies wanted to hire me, and I made a decision thinking I wanted this one. It was a dollar more an hour, but maybe I should have went with that one because the environment was more positive. I don't know. I'm not sure where I am. Not sure what's happening in my life. And oftentimes I've learned that you and I, we keep just enough familiarity in order to say, I'm not lost. I know where I am. I've seen this before. I've been on this road before. I know right where I am. I know how to get where I need to go. I know what I'm doing. Just give me a minute to figure it out. Just give me some time to work this out. And while Jacob is trying to figure it out, he falls asleep and begins to dream. And in this dream, he sees a stairway extending from earth to heaven. And on this stairway are angels ascending and descending. One of the first things I want you to understand, one of the keys to figuring it out, is to know who you are. You got to know who you are. Why is that important? Because the external will confuse you if the internal is not certain. I'm already wiser at 52. I feel it today. If you're not settled in who you are, if you're not sure of what God has called you to and who God has purposed you to be, then every little thing that happens externally, every little small thing that happens out there in the periphery, it will affect you, it will twist you, it will turn you, it will cause you to question and wonder if you are on the right path. If you are not grounded, then it makes every small thing that happens much bigger in your life. First thing that God tells him in this dream, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Jacob, you may not know exactly who you are. You may not be sure of what's happening in your life, but you can be sure of me. You can be certain of what I'm doing in your life. You can be certain of what I have called you to. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that life gets crazy. I know there's all kinds of things swirling and happening, and the news is this and the news is that. It's one direction and it's this other direction, and there's so many options and so many paths and trails that we could take, and we're just not sure. But the one thing that you can be sure of in a world of uncertainty is who God is in your life. And you got to settle that before you settle anything else. Before you can make a decision about school, you got to make a decision about God. Before you make a decision about marriage, you got to make a decision about God. Before you make a choice about where to live, you've got to make a decision about God, because that is the most important decision in your life. I hear the Lord saying to Jacob, I need to remind you, Jacob, that you're not the first one to have a bad day. You're not the first one to have a challenging season. You're not the first one to go through a thing. You're not the first one to have difficulty in your life. I brought them through, and I'll bring you through. I saw them all the way, and I'm going to see you all the way. You got to know who you are in God. And hear me today. If you are unsure of who you are in God, you got to get sure today. If you're not settled about your relationship with the Lord, you got to get it settled today, so that you have the confidence to be who God has called you to be. And when you get that established, all the other things are going to work themselves out. All the other things are going to become more clear to you because you have settled who you are in God. But the next thing I want you to see today is that when you are struggling, you still have access to God. Amen. When you are unsure, when you are unsettled, you still have access to God. Yeah. Jacob is lost. Jacob is lost more in himself than he is in geography. We know he's on the road between Beersheba and Haran. He's on the way to Laban's house. This is a known address. This is a homestead place. It's been in their families for years. We know the geography of where he is, but we got to figure this out, because Jacob is lost within. He's struggling within. But God said, look, I want you to see this stairway. It extends from earth, where you are, to heaven, where I am. You see those angels coming and going? That's the same access you have, Jacob. You can come into my presence. You can get closer to me. You can be near to me. You don't have to go through this alone. You don't have to struggle by yourself. That is some of the best work of the enemy, to get us feeling alone, to get us struggling in ourselves and feel like no one knows and no one understands and no one else has ever been on this road before. No, look at those footprints out there. Look at all those, that's where people have been walking. Everybody's been on this road. Jacob, it's not just you, but that's what the enemy does. When you're lost within, he makes everything such a big deal. Everything is a crisis when you are not centered. Everything is a struggle when you are not settled. And so the Lord tells him in this dream, you have access to me. It's always open. It's always available. This stairway is never closed. The Bible said he saw a stairway resting on earth, reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. I have stairs in my house. that take me to the next level. They take me to the second story. You know what? Those stairs are never closed. I always have access. I can go up there anytime I want. I can come down anytime I want. There's no set hours. It's not one particular day of the week. Well, it's Monday and all hell's broke loose and I got to wait until Sunday before I can get in the presence of the Lord. No, you can get in the presence of God on Monday. Oh, no. Trouble came on Tuesday. I got to get to church on Sunday. You mean I got to survive another 4 days? I got to get through another 5 days before I can get it. I can get to another ministry moment. No, you can have ministry moment all by yourself. I agree. It's much more fun when you got everybody supporting you and everybody cheering you and someone's hand on your shoulder. I get it. That's better. Always get back to Sunday. But I'm telling you, you are never without access to the presence of God. How do I do that? I don't have the team up here leading me. Lift your hands with no team leading. Lead yourself into the presence of the Lord. And I promise you, God will fill your house. God will fill your car. God will fill your bedroom, your office. You have access to God. He's not hiding from you. He's not ducking when he sees you come close. He's saying, hey, I'm over here. I want you to follow me. Come on, let's go. We think God is trying to make it harder on us, or more difficult on us. No, the problem is most people do not take advantage of the access. Most people, they wait to access on a Sunday, or maybe a small group. Maybe they jump online and find, you know, somebody's stream that's archived. Let me find some church. Let me find a word. Let me do something to just try to connect. And that's beautiful and that's wonderful. I do that as well. I love to hear preaching. And so I've got places I'll go throughout the week. I want to hear this and I want to hear what God is saying through this person. But I'm telling you, there is something powerful about just getting on my knees. There's something powerful about lifting up my hands. Nobody else in the room. Just saying, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I honor you today, Lord. Thank you for direction in my life. Thank you, Lord, for the call on my life. Thank you, Lord, for ordering my steps. I feel a little lost today, Lord. I feel a little disconnected today, Lord. I'm unsure if I'm going the right direction. So I'm going to focus on worship, and I'm going to let you focus on guiding me and leading me into all truth, because I have access to God. And in order to figure it out, you have to get in the presence of God. You got to get in the presence of God weekly. I want to challenge you to get in the presence of God daily. Sundays are important. Small groups are important. But I want you to mature in your walk with God that you can get in the presence of God every day. But that means you may have to put social media aside. It means you may have to turn the news off. I don't know if you know this, but if you listen to the news, they're not telling you about Jesus. They might be trying to talk you out of Jesus. So at some point, you got to turn that off. Well, if I turn it off, I'm not going to know what's happening. I promise you, they will repeat that same story 8 billion times. That story's not going anywhere. What matters is that I get in the presence of God. What matters is that I turn on the worship music. We got a prayer playlist and some of our faithful that come to prayer on Tuesdays. Don't change that list, Pastor, because all of us, it just walks us through the whole journey of prayer. I don't know, there's probably 30 or 40 songs on there. It lasts for a few hours, but man, don't take a song off because there's, I don't know, I just identify with it. I can turn that playlist on and all of a sudden, man, I am in the presence of the Lord. I'm right where I need to be. I'm trying to figure it out, and the best way to figure it out is to get in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you the next thing that's important. You may feel lost, but the promise is not lost. It's another lie of the enemy that if you struggle, you're going to lose everything. That if you wrestle, if you have a moment of doubt, if you have a moment that disappoints you and may disappoint God, maybe you make a bad choice, maybe you choose sin over holiness, maybe you do the wrong thing when you know it's the wrong thing, but you don't like it, you don't like that you did it. You need to understand today that you may feel lost, but the promise is not lost. Jacob is saying, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. And the Lord said, I just want to remind you that I've given you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. You mean this land? I don't even know where I am. This land? You mean this place? I don't even know where I am. You've given this to me? Yeah. You mean this headspace that I'm in, this heart space that I'm in, this emotional state that I'm in? You mean you've given this, Lord, you mean you have given me victory over this? You've given me rule over this? Yes, I've already given that to you. You are lost in something I've already given you victory over. You're struggling in something I've already given you the victory of. Anybody hearing the word today? Not so much preaching for response today. I'm preaching for thinking today. Thinking. Wait a minute, where I am? This is the promise of God. And he said, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Jacob. You, the conniver, you, the one who cheated, you, the one who stepped over into that gray area to get what it is you wanted in your life. I'm going to use you. You who've made mistakes, you who've been divorced, you who've been through a bankruptcy, you who've been addicted, you who may be addicted right now, I'm going to do something through you. Great. Does that mean I can stay addicted? No. God's going to use me. Does that mean I can keep living any way I want? No, Jacob, I'm going to tell you to get up here in just a moment. Instead of this being a place of lost, you're going to build an altar. This is going to become a powerful place to you. Not a monument to mess, but an altar of blessing and authority and renewing in your life. You may feel lost, but the promise is not lost. He's trying to figure it out. This, if nothing else, this ought to be the thing that jars Jacob out of slumber. Hearing that even though he connived and tricked and cheated, even though he put fur on his hands and conned his daddy into believing he was Esau and he got the blessing, the fact that God is saying, I'm still going to use you. This promise is the reason he tricked his brother. It's the reason from grabbing the heel all the way to the soup. This is the thing that Jacob has lived for. And God is speaking something positive over him, but he's not even believing it. It's likely you've heard something positive your whole life that you've never really believed. It's possible someone has told you, you know what, you're going to do great things. No, I'm not. You're a great father. No, I'm not. You're an excellent mother. No. Hey, you're anointed. No, this is just, I don't know, I just kind of an accident. I'm not anointed. It was an accident. You don't even believe. Jacob is struggling to believe what God has spoken over his life. Jacob, the land that you are lying on, the land, the very place where you are, we're always trying to get to next. We're always trying to get to somewhere else. We're always trying to get beyond where we are. And God is saying, hey, if you would just recognize, you always trying to move somewhere and get somewhere. And I'm trying to tell you that where you are right now is my purpose. Where you are right now is my will. Where you are at this very moment is that blessed place for your life. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, verse 16 said, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware. You know what? I think God spoke to me today. And I don't know. I'm not even sure. Somebody, in about 4 days, this message is going to hit you upside the back of your head. Oh, that's what he was talking about on Sunday. You was in the presence of the Lord. You didn't even know it. You was right smack dab in the middle of God's will and didn't even recognize it. Right where we're working, right where God wants you to work. I hate this job, but it's the job I got. And unless you're willing to get out and find another one, and God opens the door, that's where God wants you, and he wants to bless you on the ground that you are laying on, standing on, building on, working from. Surely the presence of the Lord was here, and I did not even realize it. Let me tell you finally today that here is where your dreams and your reality agree. Here, in this place, in this headspace, in this heart space. Jacob wakes up from a dream where he'd finally figured it out. Wait, what just happened? I'm not sure. Seemed like he was in the presence of the Lord, but he didn't even know it. God was there. Jacob doesn't even know where there is. I've come to tell somebody today that where you are in the struggle, in the uncertainty, in the pain, in the doubt, there, that's where God is. Pastor, if I could just get out from under this pressure, if I could just get out from under this stress, if I could just get out of my situation, and all the while, God is saying, the land you're laying on, the place where you're struggling, the place where you feel like you're in pain and having difficulty, my presence is with you there. You feel lost, but the Lord said, I led you there. I ordered your steps. This that you are frustrated with is the place of promise. And so the Bible said early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had for a pillow, and he grabbed another and another and another, stacked, poured oil on it. Said, you know what? My my bed of restlessness is now going to be my altar of peace. My place of struggle is now going to be a place of His presence. You see what He did? He just flipped the script. The place of stress, place of pain, place of difficulty, it can become the altar of your deliverance. Just figuring it out. Just figuring it out. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a hurry. It's not about trying to get to the next location. Hurry up, GPS, tell me to turn. Just settle down and just stay put. Because the Lord is in that place that you're in. You don't realize it right now, but He's where you are. And He wants you there so that you can build an altar. The best way to mark a spot, to establish a landmark, is to build an altar. This place of lament and torment, chaos. I seem to like this place. Got a lot of chaos in my life, so I'm just going to build an altar. Instead of regretting, I'm going to renew. Instead of lamenting, I'm going to live. Instead of frustration, my faith is going to be revived. Figuring it out. Father, I pray today for people in this room today who are figuring it out. Some may struggle more than others. There's different degrees, and whatever I'm feeling today, I may find my way out of, and my friend find their way into. One thing I know, Lord, is that I will never forget this. I'll never forget this season of my life. I'll never forget this place on the journey, because this is where God blessed Jacob. Esau had given birthright and Isaac had given blessing, but this is where God said, okay, man did what they could do. Now I am going to do for you what only I can do. And that's what we need, folks. We need what only God can do. In Jesus' name. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There are people in this room today that every word I've preached has made complete sense to you. Because you feel a little lost. You feel a little disconnected. You feel a little uncertain. And yet God said, I have you right where I want you. I'm leading you. I'm directing. I'm ordering your steps. So instead of chaos today, I'm going to live in confidence. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's just you and God. But I wonder if you'd acknowledge in this moment to the Lord. Yeah, that's me, Lord. Just raise your hand where you are. That's me. That's me. That's me. Dozen hands in this room. People saying, that's me. So right now I pray specifically for you, to you, believing with you, Jesus. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for your leading. Thank you, Lord, that this next week, I'm not going to see it as chaos. I'm going to allow my confidence to grow because I've got access to you, Lord. And instead of just lying down in worry or in anxiety, Lord, I'm going to get on that stairway and I'm going to get into your presence. Not waiting until next Sunday. I'm going to get in your presence right there in my closet. I'm going to get in your presence in my shower. I'm going to get in your presence in my car. I'm going to access your presence. And what's going to happen? Every person that raised your hand, God is going to remind you of and reveal to you again his promise in your life. Because he has promised you great things. In Jesus' name, amen.